flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Shout out to Ozzy. Shout out to Iron Maiden. Time to get smarter, folks. Bringing in our friend, Mr. Neil Greenberg. Stats, analytics, fantasy, gambling, does it all for the Washington Post. What up, Greenberg? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are good, dude. We're good. I want to get to kind of your overall assessment of Washington season. I've never asked for your overall assessment of Washington season this late into January. I know that much. But I want to start here. B. Mitch and I were just having this conversation of kind of next steps for Washington. And there's always so much excitement and discussion about skill position players. That's just what people get fired up about. B and I are both of the mindset of draft receivers. Don't go top market to sign a receiver. My caveat is unless Ja'Marr Chase somehow becomes available. But where do you stand on that?
On where to draft wide receivers?
Like, no, whether if you're Washington,
in
they
this
got
position,
a lot of
do you
cap
want to
space.
Go get the highest paid one, or you want to go draft somebody?
I think you always, if you can address needs in the draft, you're always better off doing that because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And you can also, you can get a couple different options because you have a bunch of draft picks depending on where you're going to be. So I think if you're, for Washington right now, the window is open. I think we can all agree on that. They have a really good quarterback at a below market price. So use that to your advantage. And, you know, if you're, there's a lot of needs to fill, right? I mean, there's some tackle, you know, offensive line, cornerback. But if you're going to look for a wide receiver, I think it's always better to look towards the draft and kind of make one, you know, into your into a viable option, then spend big money trying to get one, because I just think the draft will offer you a little couple more options.
See, I just believe right now on this team, getting your O line and D line up to par with like the better teams is more important than trying to go draft a top notch receiver or go after a top notch receiver.
Agree.
Because if you have those positions, then you got people right now that can help you compete. You know, if you have more time or you got to put more pressure on the quarterback, a receiver comes in and you still have pressure on your quarterback, it doesn't really help that much.
Correct. And, you know, we talked about this last year with the quarterback position. You know, with a good defense, even if you get just average quarterback play, you can really improve your team. Well, Now you have a really good quarterback in Washington. So if you can get just an average defense around, you know, on the other side of the football, I think that that could keep things going the way they are. Because they were in a track meet in a lot of these games, right? I mean, the offense kind of had to be historically efficient in order to keep up because the defense wasn't always reliable. But if you can shore that up, then you know this team takes on a whole new dimension, and is just a lot different to play against. It's interesting with you know, it's funny because now I really think now the goal becomes how do you beat the better teams, right? Mm-hmm. Philadelphia, Detroit, Kansas City, if you get that far, Buffalo, like. You now have to look at your roster and say, okay, we can contend. You know, we have to build ourselves so that we can keep these deep playoff pushes and maybe go deeper. So I absolutely think now it's not so much as filling up holes. It's, you know, how do we keep from backsliding and what do we have to do to beat the teams in front of us?
Mm-hmm. Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here. You can give him a follow on X, the Everything app, at N Greenberg, or Instagram at N Greenberg. I'm not going to give your email address out because you might start getting a bunch of emails, but you should follow Greenberg.
You might like that.
I get that anyway.
All right, what the hell? Neil.Greenberg at washpost.com if you want to get a hold of him personally. Let's zoom out from the wide receiver conversation and just talk about the Commanders. You must have had a good year in your account because I think you were fairly bullish on this Washington team. I know that you put your money where your mouth is and had some wagers. I know you had the over 11 and a half wins that probably paid plus 2,500 mm-hmm. or something.
Beat that Detroit by 14 or more. That paid 21 to 1, 22
wow.
to 1.
Wow. That's crazy, dude. I hope you had more than like 10 bucks on it. That's all I can say.
I had as much as they would give me, and okay. Usually it's not a lot, but I did okay.
How much did this team exceed expectations, or were they just better than everybody thought?
That's a good question. I think that they were just better than everybody thought. There was too much, for lack of a better term, the Snyder stink on the team. Mm. And I just think too many people thought that, like, Snyder's imprint and Ron Rivera's imprint was just too much to overcome, despite almost all traces of those two impacts on the regime, like, relatively cleansed. And, you know, again, like, talking about it, like, the quarterback position, it doesn't take much to elevate a team. And if you go from not great quarterbacking to just average quarterbacking, that really is that is probably the biggest jump in the NFL. Mm. So I think that they played really well. They definitely over exceeded expectations. And then they just, you know, everything worked. Like you got to give a lot of credit to the front office and the coaching staff. And, I firmly believe that Dan Quinn's his aggressiveness on fourth down in particular, plays a big role in it. I mean, you're extending drives and you're not punting. That is very, very valuable, and it goes a long way. And like we kind of talk about this in the analytic community, like incremental wins and you're adding. You know, just kind of talk like the numbers here, like maybe you're adding a 5% to your win percentage, but when you win that game, you get the full win, and a full win in the NFL in a 17-game season carries a lot of weight. So to stand to his convictions, believe in his team, to go for not only fourth and shorts, but kind of like fourth and medium sometimes, mm. You know, really does, it really is a big benefit and probably one that we're not talking about enough.
Now, as you look at this team right now, okay, the way that they finished or how they played, they added a lot of people last year with 1-year contracts. Are they in a position to where they can just add some pieces and still compete? Because we know sometimes when you do well and you have free agencies and all that type of stuff, everybody, they got $100 million. So are they positioned to be able to keep this thing moving? I'm not going to say they don't have the same type of year, but make sure that they could be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly can because the offense seems to be okay, right? Like, there's no huge overhaul that needs to be done on the offense. Offensive line obviously needs some help. Pass rush needs some help. Cornerback needs some help. But like you said, between the draft and $100 million, and now, you know, maybe you don't have to overpay as much to get a free agent to come here, right? Like, that's the other thing, whereas before, in order for Washington to get a free agent, they not only had to be the highest bidder, but they probably had to be significantly the highest bidder. You know, now, all things being equal, you look at what kind of what Washington's doing, maybe players decide that this it's, you know, it's okay to take a market value to Washington because the chance to play with Jayden Daniels, the chance to continue what's going on here. So, yeah, I think that this team will be competitive. I think that they'll probably win 10 games next year, which should get them in the playoffs and should make them, you know, a team to watch. They're not going to sneak up on anybody, but they certainly should be competitive. And it's a lot of money. And with the front office make it in play, and I have confidence they can make the right decisions, I don't think this is a fluke. And I think Washington, at the very least, should be a playoff contender for the next couple of years.
I do, too. And I think, you know, people are asking me, like, what should expectations be now? And I think that's it, that you're a playoff team. And I think you kind of start to set sights on being a divisional round playoff team, right? Like you are in this thing, and you are, like, even Houston has proven that now through two seasons with C.J. Stroud. Like, things can change quick here, and I think we're watching it unfold.
Yeah, and if your reputation is the team that no one wants to play in the playoffs, like, I think that that's good. Like, if you look at the teams this year, I certainly think Washington was that team because their ceiling was so high, right? Like, you never knew when the offense was just going to score every time they marched down the field. You never knew when Quinn was going to extend those drives with his fourth down calls. Sure, the defense had problems, but that offense, you know, could you miss a drive as an opponent, you could find yourself very easily down 7, 10, maybe even 14 points very quickly. So I think that if that's Washington's kind of aura over the next year or two, as they start to, you know, add more pieces in place for extended playoff runs, I think that's perfectly fine in year two of the rebuild.
We talked about what it does for an offense when he goes for it on fourth down. Can you quantify how demoralizing or how much it affects the other team when they make those first downs?
Yeah, well, it's certainly a situation where you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, you know, I know for me, if the coach believes in us to do that, like, that for me is what makes I would run through a wall, right? Like, I would definitely you know, get that done in terms of. You know, that would just be a huge boost for me. And then I think also when you look at, like, how just the points per drive as a defense, defenses give up twice as many points per drive if there's a fourth down conversion on the drive. So it goes from, like, 2 points per drive on average to, like, over 4 points per drive on average. So as a defense, like, you can probably say that they're going to score if there's, you know, no conversion. And the scoring rate, you know, whether it's a touchdown or a field goal, goes up from, like, 30-something percent to, like, 70%. So for a defense, it should be demoralizing because, like, that's your chance to stop the drive almost. And when you have these teams going for it on fourth, usually – it's in the opponent's territory, so they're kind of almost in field goal range to begin with. And to be able to make that makes the chances of a field goal much more, but then also the touchdown, it's a huge boost. And like I said, to not only go for it on fourth and short, but to see these, like, fourth and third, fourth and fours, to miss a fourth and four, then to come back and, you know, go for fourth again later in the game, that just has to be so galvanizing for the offense. You know, I can see why Coach Quinn is so popular.
Specific to that, were you surprised on the first drive in the NFC Championship game where Washington had already, I think, converted two fourth downs on an 18-play drive that they kicked when they got to, like, the 16 or whatever?
No, I'm not surprised. You know, at some point, you gotta get points, too. I mean, you know, you're an underdog playing against a very good team. You know, you kind of got your chance to get down there. I'm sure Quinn assessed the situation and said, all right, let's just get the points and see what we can do. You know, I don't think I'm breaking any ground here. That wasn't, you know, taking the points there wasn't the problem. It was the turnovers that were mm-hmm. the issue. And, you know, had that not have happened, you know, who knows what we'd be looking at. But I'm fine with the coach has more information than me. So if I see a right. coach go for it, and then say, okay, I'm taking the points, and, like, he has a history of YOLO, like, you know, whatever, I'm just going to go for it and put my team in the best position to succeed. You know, if he goes for the points, I'm perfectly fine with that. Like, I have no qualms. I don't care what the analytics say at that point. Like, the coach did what he needed to do to get this far, and if he thinks taking the points are the best thing, I'm taking his word for it.
See, I kind of felt like the guy who they hired from the NFL to tell him probably said, you know what, we're not going to keep getting these fourth downs.
Already.
Get the points.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Because you could go to the well too many times.
And Fangio's defense has a history of red zone stops because they allow the little underneath stuff and nobody's going to beat them. Well, when the little underneath, you run out of space. You know?
I was just going to say, what people may not understand is that the field gets compressed, right?
Right.
Like the closer you get to the goal, the less room you have to work. So you have to take all that into account. And I'm not saying the analytics do or don't. I'm just saying from a coaching perspective, X's and O's, that coaching staff knows way more than me as opposed to a fourth down bot saying yay or nay. Like, just do what you got to do. You got this far. They all deserve the benefit of the doubt. You know, he's shown that he will go for it if he thinks it's the right move. If he takes the points, I'm fine with that. He's the patron saint of YOLO. Like, do what you got to do, boo.
B, how refreshing is it to hear an analytics dude say the coach knows more than me?
Hey, man.
There's so many people that are convinced that's not the case.
I told you I like Neil early.
Yeah, man.
Some of them I don't like, Neil. Some of your friends, I
understand.
I don't like it. They don't put context to nothing.
Greenberg, before we let you go, the Caps are tied for the points lead in the whole NHL. They got a clear lead in the Eastern Conference. Good win last night in Calgary. We've never heard a nice thing about Calgary. What? How good is this team? How could this? There's this like weird World Cup or something. There's like this break coming up in hockey. What kind of impact could that make?
Yeah, look, if losing Ovechkin to a broken leg didn't impact this team, nothing's going to. I mean, they're arguably one of the best teams in hockey. I actually tweeted this the other day, like, if you want to keep these good feelings going in the DMV, definitely take a look at the hockey team because they have two things to root for, right? They're really good and are a Stanley Cup contender. And, oh, by the way, one of their players is also going to become the greatest scorer in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
And also Ovechkin. So, I think that it's definitely time to turn your attention to them. They are very good. They are very well coached. I know we're talking about Quinn, but, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Carberry to be able to do what he did, lose Ovechkin, not lose a step. They have a lot of, you know, their goaltending is good. They're getting production from young and old, et cetera. This is a legit team. They should be fun to watch down the stretch.
When do you think Ovi breaks the record?
I had it in March, kind of like late March. I'll actually be updating it every time he scores. I'll give like the most likely games he should break the record. Mostly it's for myself because I want to be in attendance, but I'll definitely keep an eye on that.
All right, yeah. Can you just text me that directly?
Yes, of course.
You'll be working, Jay. You'll
be there. On a serious note, I got your ticket for Friday night. Are you still able to make it?
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you have a ticket, or do I still need to physically get you a ticket?
you need to physically get me a ticket. I can eat
that. You asked him, did he want one? He said, yes, get it to him, JP.
Yo, the Cluster Buster sent me tickets.
What the hell are you doing, man?
I can Venmo.
I'm surprised you already have it.
I'll email it to you because I know your email, neil.greenberg@washpost.com.
Okay.
All right. You let me know if you have any trouble.
He tried to get your email overflowing, dog.
I know. I'm going to have so much spam. I'm just going to forward it to him. I'll make a little rule.
I'm going to have White Brian send it to you. I'm going to keep my email address a secret. Thank you, Greenberg.
I can tell you what it is. James?
Takeavacation@gmail.com. Right. That's probably his email.
See you, man.
All right. See you Friday. Love you guys.
All right. You sip that with it on the landfill? Take a vacation?
We will see Greenberg on Friday night at 106.7 The Fan live in Leesburg. I'm pretty sure it's sold out. It's going to be a very, very fun night. There is a controversy brewing in Philadelphia.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll explain. Shout out to Jock Jams. I mean, just to think, they used to like sell this as a CD, all the hype music that was played in arenas. It'd be like, this song, boom, there it is. See, why, Brian, that's why you need a stream in the aquarium. You're in charge of the damn stream. Like, the people need to see Landfill and Jeff dancing. Can you make that happen, White Brian? Are you utterly powerless in your stream role?
I think I can make it happen.
All right. Now we're talking. Because, you know, Landfill's such a giver that he's not going to be at the big party Friday night because he doesn't want to take somebody's seat. So we at least got to let the people see Landfill dance it. Jock Jams gets them going. Landini, did you own the Jock Jams CD Volume 1 or 2?
No, I'm not from 1992, so I don't know what any of that means.
Brian, how old are you, young man?
26. I'm 27.
Have you ever owned a CD?
Yes.
Okay. Like when you were in high school?
When
did like iPods took over in '05 or something, right?
My first CD I bought Graduation from a Barnes & Noble.
I don't know that Barnes & Nobles even exist anymore.
They got them some places.
Do they?
Yeah.
What CD was it?
That's a good CD. He just said it.
Graduation. Kanye.
Oh, I thought he meant I got it for graduation, like high school graduation.
Yeah, that's because of them hobbies you had back in the day. Brain cells gone.
Had some hobbies, B. yo. Before we get into the controversy coming from Philadelphia, seriously, you got to check out this contest. You could win an ultimate tournament trip to Las Vegas just by listening
yes.
to 106.7 The Fan. Win a trip for you and three friends during the first two Woo! Rounds of the college basketball championships. Flights, hotel, and 20 G's in spending money.
I would love that in Vegas.
Yo, you heard that right. 20 grand in spending money. That is nuts.
Yeah.
Just download.
Can we get in that?
Seriously. Download the free Odyssey app, listen to The Fan for at least 1 hour, listen the next day for at least an hour for another entry. It's Odyssey Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. For more info, go to odyssey.com/slamdunk. That is legit.
Also, Jeff, if you win that, would you go to Vegas?
Yeah.
Have you ever been out there for the first two rounds?
You going to spend the whole 20?
Nah, I'd probably spend like 10 trying to flip it, but I just put the other 10 to the side.
Yeah,
say,
right. You get the Vegas, spend all that.
I've
you ever been to Vegas?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been to Vegas like twice.
I mean, a lot of people tell me they've never been. I'm like, whoa, you don't know what you're missing.
Landfill, you ever been to Vegas? Landfill has not been to Vegas. What about you, White Brian? You're a young man.
I have never been to Vegas, no.
I don't know that he's built for it.
I think Brian, me and you will go.
I would love to see White Brian go out drinking for the night with B. Mitch. That I'm here for.
Yeah, we'll handle that, B.
That'll be something. White Brian, do you like bourbon?
Yeah, I like bourbon.
Okay.
Not my first choice.
It'll be the Bryans out on the streets.
The three B's. Brian, and bourbon.
All right. So, I don't know what to make of this. When a team in a city like makes it to the finals, the kind of what has become the norm, and we've seen this locally as teams have like had success, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is other teams in that city will like congratulate them on social media.
Yeah.
Right? That's become a normal thing. We've gotten used to that. Like the Nationals will say congrats to the Caps or whatever.
Okay, what's happening here? What's happening with the Sixers?
So the people in Philly have like created this controversy that the Sixers didn't like immediately Sunday evening, Sunday night, say congrats to the Eagles for beating the Commanders. And the conspiracy is Josh Harris owns the Sixers, and that's why the Sixers didn't congratulate the Eagles.
he was probably busy. And I'm sure they've since already did that.
So last night, right, Tuesday night, there were a bunch of Eagles players at the Sixers game to do their like their pregame thing where you ring the bell.
Uh-huh.
And it was A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith.
So the player's not dealing with that. That's just the idiots in Philly that's dealing with that.
Well, and then it ends up, January 28th.
Yesterday.
Is last night.
Yeah.
So last night they posted pictures of the Eagles players that were there sitting courtside. You know, and I mean, just from a straight dollar perspective, these dudes are sitting courtside with the Lakers in town, right? Uh-huh. Sixers played the Lakers last night. Somebody confirmed that.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure I saw a picture of them like hugging on LeBron.
Uh-huh.
From a straight dollar perspective, giving away courtside seats with LeBron and Anthony Davis in town, you could sell those tickets for a lot of money. That's just the reality.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, those courtside tickets go for a lot. Oh. Like 30 grand sometimes. Like
especially with LeBron.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So Philly people are kind of mad about this because it happened a couple days later. I find it impossible to believe, and you tell me if you disagree,
mm-hmm.
that like Sunday night, something from the Sixers got run up the ladder to the point where Josh Harris was like, yo, don't you dare tweet that out.
I doubt that.
Maybe somebody in with the Sixers was like, we're going to wait because Josh owns the other team. Like
uh-huh.
maybe something happened, but there is no way, in my opinion, Harris is getting involved in the minutia of what teams are tweeting.
If it was a thing, the players wouldn't have showed up to the game. It's not a thing. As I said yesterday, and this is people don't, and I'm not defending, but I'm saying there's a small group of idiots that make Philadelphia look bad. Most of those fans are not concerned about that crap. But you get the little drunks and the little fools that want to act a certain way. You know, like the one dude that wanted to decide he's going to bump into the little commander dude that ended up putting him to the ground, knocking his ass out. Everybody's not going to take that crap. So that is not, that's a, like you said, what you call it, a non-controversy. I totally agree with that.
To your point about good people in Philly, so Tailgate Ted's obviously getting harassed up there, whatever, and has become, that video went viral because Portnoy got involved. They've now raised over 10 grand to fight lung cancer with Eagles fans making the donations.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Because there are smart people up there.
Controversy, baby.
Yeah.
Controversy. And, dude, you're right. There are bad actors in all fan bases.
Totally.
Phillies just might be louder, and then once you have the reputation, everything gets amplified because people expect it. And then people start to look for it. And the idiots have their phones out all the time.
If I give you a metal trash can and you put 5 rocks in it and you shake it up, loud as hell, right?
Yeah.
If I put about 50 to 60 rocks in it, you shake it, you probably won't get no sound. So don't always think the loudest is the majority.
That's a good analogy.
Loudest is the minority most times. They just got a big voice, and they'll call every show and talk all the idiocy all the time. Most players in that locker room have a problem with that group of people, too.
I'm with you. You know what I got to do yesterday, Brian, that
what?
I honestly haven't done ever?
What?
No landfill. I can't.
It was what do you do?
It was emotion.
I can imagine.
Yo.
Y'all horrible, dude.
So we usually get the kids down 7:30, 8-ish. And then I usually have to run back and forth to my car to bring stuff in, whatever, right? And typically, even stuff that goes to the garage into the basement, I have to bring up and into the house, down the stairs and around. And I had a case of water that I was bringing in. And the case of water goes in the downstairs fridge in the garage. Mm-hmm. And I started to walk upstairs to come downstairs inside the house. And I was like, wait a second. I got this dope-ass new garage door.
Uh-huh.
And I pressed the button in my car to open that thing. Right? It makes about as much noise as when your phone vibrates. Like, it's silent.
Uh-huh.
I never could have done that with the old garage door. Because the old garage door was like, I mean, it was like getting hit by a truck.
Kind of sound like your voice.
Bro, it was so, I mean, little things in life are what excite you. And for me, having a new garage door from Door Pro America is so damn awesome. They took great care of us, Shane and Vince. The whole process took like 2-3 hours. They had to move some stuff. They moved it all back where it went. The process couldn't have been easier, and we can't be more happy about the new door, how it looks, how it sounds. Door Pro America has been proudly serving the DMV for over 50 years. Their team handles it all. Garage door and opener repairs, maintenance, new installations, anything you need. They do it like true pros. Call right now. You can save $150 on a brand new garage door. Call 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO. Tell them JP Finley sent you. Or check them out at doorproamerica.com. Lanville, you want to laugh about something? CK sent me 3 tickets to 106.7 The Fan Live. And I just asked him. I was like, hey, man. You sent me 3 tickets. What's up with that? He's like, well, you asked for 3 tickets. And I was like, oh, do you know who they're for? And he said, no, you asked for them. I know one's for Greenberg, so I have 2 for you.
Laffy, we got a ticket for you. So you don't have to worry about it, worry about the fan now. We got it for you.
Yeah, Lanville, you're good. You're Gucci, baby.
How thoughtful.
What do you say?
How thoughtful. So we'll see you there, right?
Yeah, sure.
Lanville giving me the eyes like the gummy just hit. Like he's just like all of a sudden completely immobile and staring. I don't know. I think AD is the other ticket. We'll see. All right, Greenberg, I just sent you your ticket. B, we haven't done – I wanted to circle back to this. Zach Ertz, De'Ami Brown, Tressway. Let's separate De'Ami because that's a more interesting situation. Ertz and Tress both made very clear they want to be back.
Mm-hmm.
They're both free agents. To me, I think Tress is a complete no-brainer because I think Tress will want to be here to the point where it's like, hey, guys, can I just get the same contract and we can keep this moving? You know, like I don't see that being a money thing. Ertz commands more money. The position commands more money. That could be a little more complicated. But frankly, with Ertz, I don't even think it'll be. What do you think the odds are that one or both are back next year?
I think the odds that both will be back. I'm going to go over 50%. I'll say about 65, 70.
I tend to agree, dude. I think with Tress, it's almost more. Like, I think there's a 80% chance Tress is back. Something, you know, like I think it's likely, maybe even highly likely Tress is back. And Ertz, I think, bro, he was really good.
He was.
I mean, he was their leading receiver in the NFC title game. He was good just kind of throughout the season. I mean, what did he end up? How many touchdowns did he end up with? 8 or 9? That's. Now, you did have a couple guys with 1,000-yard seasons. Kittle, McBride, Bowers were awesome. Jonnu Smith was awesome, especially in the second half of the season when I picked him up in fantasy. No big deal, Lanville. Ertz, though, finished with 654 yards and 7 touchdowns on 66 catches. Averaged 10 yards a catch. Now, you want Sennett to develop. I understand that. But I don't think
you don't want him to develop so much to where you just get rid of somebody that you know can get it done.
And they've run a lot of multi-tight end personnel on the field. Whether it's 12 or like a different look, hell, they run 13 sometimes. Like, there's playing time for everybody. I don't think having Ertz stunts Sennett's development at all. And the way Ertz helps you in red zone, there was a reason Cliff kept going to him on fourth down. It's because they trusted him to get open, especially in short yardage red zone situations.
He was the insurance policy a lot for Jaden this year.
So you and I both think likely to highly likely both of those dudes are back. Or can you land there safely?
Yeah, I said that.
Okay. Jeff, you want Ertz and Tress back?
Yep.
Landini? Landini's a go. They're not going to bring everybody back. It's more complicated than that. Tischler brought something up on the podcast that I hadn't thought of that, frankly, I think could be a real issue, is with Pete Carroll landing in Vegas and with Pete Carroll's probably going to try to do what Dan Quinn did this past year where, you know, it's pro football and you always want to win, but we got to build our building. We got to install our operation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there a better dude for Pete Carroll to try to get than Bobby Wagner?
Yeah.
That's not saying he necessarily wants to leave here.
But I would say this, though. Pete was the head coach. Dan was the D coordinator. I would believe Bobby and Dan had a better relationship than Pete and Dan and Bobby.
Well, Quinn eventually left, and Bobby was there a lot longer.
I understand, but still.
It's not like Pete's an offensive guy. He's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
I hear you. Clearly, he has a close relationship with Quinn and folks on that staff. I think Ken Norton goes back to that Seattle staff. I think could be a factor is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we're going to do. Mike Jones from The Athletic joins us next. Might open the phone lines up after that. Talk a little.
Back then, they didn't know me.
Now I'm hot. They all on me.